And now to our regular Friday political commentators, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And I want to start with you where Scott Horsley left off just now. President Obama was asked specifically about Pastor Terry Jones in Florida, who had planned to burn the Quran this weekend. And E.J., it was the part of the news conference today, a very long news conference, over an hour long, where the president seemed to be most engaged and most passionate. He talked about Muslim Americans going to school with our kids. They're our neighbors. They're our friends. They're our co-workers. What did you think of what he had to say, and did he go far enough?
Well, I thought he really came alive when these questions came up. About halfway through the news conference, he happened to drop in, I'm quoting him here, that he is somebody who relies heavily on my Christian faith in the job. So he's clearly got in the back of his head these polls on people, you know, a percentage of Americans thinking he's a Muslim. The other part was political, and it was important. You really had a 1-2 punch this week in his speeches in Milwaukee and outside of Cleveland, where he's really rejoined the campaign. And he had evaded the press. He hadn't done a news conference in, what is it, about 3 months or 4 months. And so he is fully present in this campaign. I think you're going to see a strategy where even Democrats who are running away from him in conservative districts need Barack Obama to generate turnout for them. And I, for one, don't think this election is decided yet. And if, in fact, Democrats manage not to lose the two houses of Congress, I think this week will be seen as a turning point, starting in Milwaukee and continuing today.
Okay, I want to get back to that in a second. But first, I want to just continue with one thought on the pastor in Florida, David. And there's a lot of soul-searching, maybe navel-gazing on the part of the media about whether we are part of the problem. Are we amplifying hate-filled rhetoric, hate speech, and bigotry by paying attention to a fringe character in Florida?
Any thoughts? Navel-gazing in our profession.
It's a scary thought. Very scary.
We beat ourselves on the back with feathers. I think it's outrageous the number of coverage we've given to this lunatic. Why does somebody on the extreme get to hijack the whole national conversation? And essentially what we've got is a symbiosis between extremists. One group of extremists does something extreme, they get to feel victimized, and then it plays off great for them because they get to recruit members, they get to attract attention, it's great for their movements, but it only elevates the people on the extremes, and it hurts the country. So I do think we've given way too much attention to one guy in Florida.
I agree with that. I do think that we're not really giving that much focus to the extremes. I don't know where the extreme left is in the coverage. We are painting a picture of ourselves to the world, though, that's a lot more intolerant than we are. We're getting a lot of examples of various forms of intolerance. And our country, we do have intolerance here, but that doesn't really define who we are at all. And I think what's striking, the one good news about this is how many people came out against what this pastor was doing across political lines. I hope that sends some signal to the world.
Let's spend some time talking about the White House economic message this week, as we heard from Scott. Today, the president said this: we have started to turn the corner. We're not there yet. I was reminded that when I talked to the chairman of the DNC, Tim Kaine, this week, he said the theme was, we are building the ladder to climb out of the ditch. David, can the Democrats do better than that? If you're thinking of high-flying campaign rhetoric, where does that get them?
Well, I mean, what they're doing, I think, responsibly on the policy grounds is doing something long-term. Look, our problems are structural. The unemployment rate is high because of structural reasons. We've had a lot of jobless recoveries. You can't fix it over the next year, probably. But you can do a couple things that can make us better in the long run, 5 years out. And Obama's done a very important one this week, which is a potential infrastructure bank to get the roads and ridges and airports up. But that's one policy. And that policy, for example, includes giving tax breaks to big business. But then he gives his political speeches, and he attacks the idea of giving tax breaks to big business. And so there's a contrast between his policies, which I think are modest but pretty good, and the political rhetoric, which is pretty traditional us versus them rhetoric, which, by the way, I don't think will work particularly well. It didn't work particularly well in helping John Corzine get reelected in New Jersey or in beating Scott Brown in Massachusetts. But underneath the sort of normal populist rhetoric, there are some pretty decent policies that came out this week.
EJ, you mentioned earlier you were leaving open the possibility of a November surprise. In other words, that the Republican stampede and the surge that we're talking about all the time now, you're saying maybe not so fast.
Right. I do say not so fast. In other words, clearly the Republicans will gain a bunch of seats. The Democrats are defending some very difficult seats, some of which they were bound to lose. But you can't mobilize the Republican base more than it's already mobilized unless they start voting 3 or 4 times each. There are a lot of Democratic votes out there. They're just not showing up in the enthusiastic to vote pool. That's where Obama can make a difference. And I'm starting to sense from Democratic candidates that they're not complacent. They know it's a hard year, but some of them are starting to think they can pull this out. So If you did end up with the Democrats narrowly hanging on to both houses, what might have been seen a year ago as a pretty good Republican performance is now going to be seen as a defeat.
Can I David? Like 5% agree with EJ, which is up to my health levels?
You know, it's very generous of you, David.
And I'm hearing this from Republicans, too. They think a lot of this talk is way overblown. The conventional wisdom these days is Republicans will pick up 60 or 70 seats and maybe even the Senate. And I kind of doubt that. And for this reason, I think people are upset about the Democrats, the amount of spending, the amount of concentration of power. So they register that upset by saying, I'm going to vote for Republicans, to pollsters. But when you actually get in the voting booth, it's not just registering upset, it's actually voting for someone. And when that choice is made, it's a different sort of choice. A certain percentage will pull back, and that'll be for substantive reasons. The Republicans will stop a lot of the spending, but do they actually have an economic policy to heal the long-term unemployment? That they haven't really presented yet. So I suspect there'll be a little pullback from where we are in the polls.
Okay. EJ and David, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
EJ Dionne of the Washington Post and Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the New York Times.